Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, the first day of training camp is here.
Dude, let's talk about something interesting. Are you going to get the new iPhone?
No.
Why not?
Because I just got the iPhone.
Whatever.
Four. Yeah.
The iPhone 4. That's like 2 years old.
No.
Dude.
Well, wait. Five? I have the five.
You do? You have the bigger one?
I have this one.
Oh, yeah. That's that one.
I have the five. I have the one from last year.
Good. Good.
Are you going to get the new iPhone, dude?
I want to. I want to get the gold one, but now I'm not one of those weirdos that like waits in line like for a week to get a phone.
You're just going to order it on the intranet.
I am, but yeah. There's no pre-sale, so I'm a little salty about it.
Dude, Sharks training camp opened today.
Sharks training camp opened?
Wait, there's actual news to talk about in hockey business.
There is.
Yes, dude. The NHL training camps have opened. Veteran players who used to be rolling in a bathtub of millions are now trying out their wares across the United States. Governor, please sign me. We'll work for porridge.
Can I have some more?
Please, sir. Craziness.
Yeah.
So, dude, let's just jump right in here at home, San Jose, Sharks training camp upon us, Vancouver, October 3rd. We'll be here before we know it, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
We have the training camp roster up and open. We'll do a kind of a quick sweep over it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at some news,
yeah,
which actually we were involved in the early discussions of this news, thanks to a listener of ours. Was it Sharks Eyes who contacted us and said, hey, I think I see Martin Havlat skating rather effortlessly
like, skating
up
around.
The ice. He seems like he's just fine. And we went, wait, but he had total pelvic reassignment surgery.
Reconstruction.
Oh, sorry. And he said, I know, he looks fine. Is he out there? Is he wearing shorts or a skirt? He said he's wearing a skort. I said, oh, it must be fine. So, anyways, we passed that along to people who might have more knowledge than that, and it did come to fruition that yes, Havlat was skating.
He was actually out there.
He was out there and spoke a couple days ago, basically saying if there was a game today, I would play. Which, you know, insert laugh track here.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Because we've been down this road like multiple times with Martin Havlat. And the Sharks basically came out today and said that they're happy with how he's progressing, but there's no way he's going to play an opening night. He didn't practice today officially with the team.
Mm-hmm.
He may be, you know, doing some sort of rehab, but he's definitely not playing tonight. But it looks like, dude, he is going to play this year, and by all accounts, in the first, I would guess, third of the season, we're going to see Martin Havlat before New Year's Eve.
Talk about a reversal.
I know.
I mean, Doug Wilson was basically talking about this guy 6 weeks ago as if he were dead.
Dead man walking. What's your last meal?
We're going to dig him up next May and see how he's aged.
Can I have some pickled herring and a glass of Tang?
Put some eggs in there with him. We can have 1,000-year-old eggs.
Make me a cup of hobo chili. Dude, it's shocking. I was shocked when we got the message that he was skating. My response was, no way. It's got to be someone else wearing his number. And they said, nope, it's
evil twin.
It's him. It's his evil twin.
Nitam. His evil twin.
Nitam.
Yeah. It's like Tomax and Zaymot for the G.I. Joe fans out there.
So how do you feel about this? What's your reaction?
I'm not super happy, I guess.
Really? What's the alternative?
Well, given all the other stuff that's been happening the last couple of weeks, you're right. That's a good point. a month ago, it seemed like $5 million in the bank.
Sure.
Allegedly, we could find some guys to sign and get him on the roster. Now, if he's going to play, I can't say I'm super thrilled because we've seen this movie before. If he plays hurt, he's not effective. And we saw how ineffective he was in the playoffs. If there's a setback or a recurrence of some measure of injury, and certainly sounded serious at the time, if he's not back 100%, that's not super useful for the Sharks.
Well, isn't it apparently the Sharks are handling Martin Havlat episode 5,
yeah,
the search for health, by holding him out, basically saying, he's saying, I'm ready to play today. And they're saying, ha ha, sit down. No, you're not. We're going to make sure that you're 100%. We've heard you say this before, and you skated for 30 seconds and then fell over the boards and,
right,
you know, we're sitting alone in the press box.
Right.
But the whole thing has been so interesting from where basically he was the black sheep of the team, right?
Yeah.
Where it seemed almost like nobody believed that he was really hurt. And that whole thing is so hard to make out what that was now about. I mean, maybe they knew he was so seriously hurt that they did just remove his plate from the locker room because he just could not come back.
I don't know.
I mean, who knows, dude? It's impossible to know. We're not in the room. But the fact is Havlat's here. He's going to apparently play this year.
He's at least almost participating already.
Yeah. Well, he was participating before it was an official team practice.
Yeah.
He was out there skating with everybody else,
mm-hmm,
and apparently looking fairly normal,
right,
which I know is different than playing in a game.
Right. Just because you can cruise around and take some shots doesn't mean anything in terms of, okay, can you turn on a dime, start and stop at will? You know, I've had a groin injury before, and it sucks. It really sucks trying to play hockey with that. And you don't know when the next, like, pain is going to happen. It's really difficult to predict, like, which movements are going to be painful, which ones are going to be fluid, which ones are not. Like you said, there's no reason to rush him back at this point. I mean, he's apparently made of glass anyway. Why rush him? Try and get him all the way back. I don't know what's going on with this. I mean, because it seemed so, like, the team had basically just kicked him out, it seemed like, in the playoffs. Like, yeah, don't even come into the locker room. Like, it's sort of like Office Space. It's like, yeah, why don't you move your desk down to the basement for me?
Can I have my stapler?
Yeah, I'm going to need you to go ahead and move your desk again.
I'm not ready to move my desk.
And now all of a sudden he's back. He's like, okay, I'm here, guys. Woo-hoo.
Right.
You know, it's so odd. I don't understand it. I mean, I guess it could be just what you said, which is they knew he was out. They knew there was no way he was going to play. So they sort of took him out of the locker room. But there was some other weird stuff happening, like the coach or somebody else sort of implying that they thought he might be able to play.
Right.
And now he's back. It's just, I wish I knew. We have no sources.
So, the Sharks. There is no cap space at the moment. There's none. We're over the cap. So, you know, some of these guys who are being carried as current players, one of them's going to have to go or be magically injured, right? So, someone's going to have to disappear opening night.
If Havlat could start the season on LTIR, because LTIR is not as long-term as you might think. It's really like 10 games.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And you know what? That's absolutely what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Because he's not going to play in the first 10 games.
That seems uncharacteristically reckless on the part of the Sharks.
I'm going to give that as a 0% chance that he plays in the first 10 games based on how they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even if he's ready, they may not let him play, you know, in the first 10 games. And we'll see that classic conditioning assignment. He'll go down to Worcester and play a couple games and then he'll come give it a go. But a healthy Martin Havlat is certainly better than watching Tommy Wingles on the third line, which is what it's going to be right now.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how the lines are. Let's look at what the lines are like right now, and then we can kind of take a look at the roster.
Do we really even have lines at this point?
Well, let me tell you what they were today, and you tell me what you think. The top line is Jumbo, Burns, Kennedy.
Okay.
Okay. Second line, Marlo Couture, not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Torres.
Yeah, I think I heard that.
Third line, Pavs, which we kind of expected, I think, that he was going to continue to be the third line center. That was such an effective play by them.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where I get concerned. Pavs, Hurdle,
mm-hmm.
Wingles.
Yeah.
So we all hope Thomas Hurdle's going to be a good player.
Right.
But
we all hope he's going to be the next Jaeger.
The odds are that he's going to be a good player his first year are
pretty slim.
Slim. Under 50%, I'd say. So are we just sending Joe Pavelski to the Wolves by lining him up with Wingles, who's shown nothing in terms of consistency, right? And Hurdle, who's an unknown, an NHL unknown.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. And it's one day, right?
Sure.
Are we on day one here?
Yeah, I know, but we're on day one. But I think that's the plan, dude. I think it's the plan. It's gonna be a ripple effect. Because if you move Pavs up,
mm-hmm.
then you're weakening your bottom six. Totally. Now we're back to the problem that we had before, where the bottom six can't score. They couldn't score at all last year until they moved Pavs down there.
Right. Well,
so it's going to be an interesting situation. I mean, we really do miss Havlat or someone to play that role.
Right.
It's an important piece. And maybe the solution's Anthony Stewart, who's on a PTO in camp, dude.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, your text to me was LOL when I texted that to you that was going to happen.
I can't believe that's of all the guys who were available on PTOs, that's the
guy. I know. Like, name me some of the guys who have gotten tryout contracts.
Yeah.
Tryout
well, here
contracts.
Are the guys that I know of, and it's kind of hard to find this. You know? Mason Raymond's in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Simone Gagné apparently is going to be in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
David Steckel's in Minnesota. Brad Boies and Brett Clark are in Florida. Hal Gill is with the Flyers. Ryan Whitney is with St. Louis. Guillaume Le Tendresse is in Phoenix, and Radek Martinik is in the New York Islanders camp.
And Anthony Stewart is in San Jose.
Right.
Like, one of these things is not like the other. All those guys you named are regular NHL players.
Anthony Stewart didn't play a single NHL game last year.
Yeah, he split time between the AHL and the prestigious English elite Hockey League. He played for Nottingham. Okay. And let's see. In 16 games, he had 8 points. So he was pretty productive at that level.
This is a guy
is like, I believe, one small step down from 14 AAA midget in Canadian hockey.
This guy had, I mean, he had like a regular NHL job for Atlanta and Carolina. I mean, he played, and when Atlanta moved to Winnipeg was when they gave up on him.
Mm-hmm.
He has 71 points in 262 NHL games. You know, for a bottom six forward on paper, if you just hear me say that to you, that doesn't sound that bad.
No.
He's got 6'3", 230 pounds. That doesn't sound bad.
No.
That sounds appealing. You know, from his profile, it sounds like he has potential, but this guy is totally riddled with inconsistency, even more than his much supremely talented brother, Chris Stewart,
right,
who plays for the Blues, but is also a poster child for inconsistency, right?
Yep.
This guy traded from Carolina to LA in the Kevin Westgarth deal, and he never even played a single game for the Kings.
Right.
So
Kings are pretty deep.
Yeah, dude, but I mean, not even a single game.
Yeah.
Like, when someone got hurt, they didn't bring... He had 7 points in the AHL last year. Seven points.
I know.
I don't know. I'm the first to admit that I don't know. I don't have the Anthony Stewart, you know, highlights on my iPad, you know, queued up. Don't know a ton about him. But I have low expectations. Like, it's not even like this is someone like Brad Winchester, where you know when you get Brad Winchester that he's gonna get a preseason fight and get knocked down.
Yeah. Right. And it's also not like Anthony Stewart is 23 and still sort of getting his legs. He's 28 years old, this guy.
Oh, my God. That's ancient.
It's not ancient, but
I mean, if you look at the
stat nerds, 28
he's had
is
a shot.
Usually past prime.
Sure. He's a known quantity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's 1K away from Bracken Kurtz. Right.
It's so odd that the Sharks would invite a guy like that when you got a guy like I like all those guys you named.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, those guys are, I don't know. I'm not sure what they're looking for. Those guys are more and skill guys, which you would have thought that's what they would have wanted if they're looking to replace Havlat. Now, maybe they know full well that those guys are not going to accept a two-way deal. And Stewart will. He's going to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? And we have a contract to offer, right? We're at 49.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include the Patrecki deal that happened?
I believe it does. Yeah.
So we're at 49. You sign Anthony Stewart. You make it 50. You ditch him into the AHL. And if you're looking for a tough guy to come up to fill a spot, it's not like he's even a tough guy, though.
I know. He's not. He's not.
So but the other options are, you know, Matt Pellick.
I know.
So, and we saw that last year. That he couldn't do anything.
Played two games.
But he couldn't do anything.
No, like, no.
He wasn't effective doing anything.
No.
Anyways, I think that's a non-story, right? Anthony Stewart, not going to
be... Dan Cleary gets a tryout offer, and we give a tryout offer to Anthony Stewart.
But here's the Dan Cleary deal, right?
Okay.
I mean, Dan Cleary gets a tryout offer, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, from the Philadelphia Flyers, which really was a three-year deal with a no-trade clause. But the problem was is that until Pronger can go on long-term IR, they couldn't do anything.
Right.
So he's got to go through camp for 3 weeks and hope he doesn't get hurt.
Right.
And evidently they told him, you don't even have to play. You don't have to play in any preseason games. You don't have to scrimmage. You don't have to do anything.
Right.
You just have to be here and like practice. But what happens if he gets hurt?
Yeah.
Then he gets nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Then the Flyers aren't going to give him a deal then.
No, absolutely not. He gets nothing. So he ended up going back to Detroit on a one-year, 1.75 deal, which absolutely they're going to take care of their boy.
Right.
Even after January 1st when they can extend him, don't be surprised if it happens immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't think they care if it's a 35 and over. I don't think they care. I think...
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to give him an eight-year deal at that
point. No, but they'll give him another 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to leave money on the table, but the Detroit and San Jose are so similar in that loyalty is thick, right?
Yeah.
I mean, guys don't leave.
It's true.
Right?
They tend to stay.
That's the difference. I think Cleary was never an option, but some of these other guys, like Mason Raymond, like really?
Well, couldn't we offer Mason Raymond?
Mason Raymond couldn't get a PTO from us?
Yeah. Seriously, I don't understand.
Well, I mean, is the difference when it came down to it, if Raymond made the team, is the difference then going to be what his expectation is salary-wise versus Stewart? What do you do?
I mean, I guess it could be just a money thing. I mean, because if Raymond makes the team, he's not going to make league minimum.
Right. And then you're in a situation where then Havlat comes back 30 games into the year.
What do you do?
And what do you do? I mean, he's going to be on a one-way deal. You end up waiving him, eating the cap hit, sending down Hurdle. Like, you maybe... Havlat's health has screwed up everything. Oh, dude. Yeah. Should we look at the roster?
Yeah.
Let's take a look here to how many names we recognize. You want to start?
I recognize all of them.
All of them?
Well, okay, not
come
all.
On.
Not all
Riley
all
Brace? You don't know who that is.
I have no
dude.
Idea who Adam,
you don't know who that
Adam
is.
Comrie, I have no idea. I'm pretty close, though, because we watched the prospects, you know, scrimmage game earlier in the summer, so I'm familiar with most of these names, even guys like Chris Tierney, who actually doesn't count against the 50 contracts because he's probably going to go back to the London Knights in the OHL. So, who's not even 20 years old. So, I mean, you know, it's the same characters. It seems like, let's talk about the group of players that appear to have a shot at getting a second look, right? Clearly, we've already talked about Thomas Hurdle. We have no idea where he's at. We talked about how he looked in the prospects game. another name that's come up several times that we've had our own scouts out there in the Boston area talking about Matt Nieto. Matt Nieto seems to be a name that's cropping up a little bit now.
Well, if they're looking for someone to play a top six role, and if you can just be a receiver to Joe Thornton's passes, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe Matt Nieto is the underdog here mm-hmm. that could take the roster spot from Thomas Hurdle. He could, because Nieto,
maybe for a short time, see what the kid can do.
Well, he can score.
Yeah,
I mean, he can score, and he's slick. They're different players. I like them both, but they're different. So I think it's not a bad point, dude, that Nieto's got a shot. I think he's got a shot. If he has a good preseason, he's got a chance to make the team. I'd like to see him play. Let him play with Joe or Logan and see what happens. If you're going to put him out there with, DeJardin, you're not going to know.
Yeah.
You know?
We already know what's happening there. So he, amongst the forwards, he appears to be the name that is, the wild card.
Yeah.
We also have, sort of the standard cast of characters, Shepherd, now Stewart, and Wingles. So we have this sort of group of guys that we don't really know for sure. I mean, DeJardin's pretty much a lock, I think, on the fourth line, but everything else, and I guess Burrish, obviously, because they can't send him down. But
I'm going to throw out another name here that, I've never seen the guy do a darn thing, and I'm just kind of curious, because he was a prolific scorer at the college level. That's Rylan Schwartz. I mean, this guy was one of the top scoring forwards in the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to see if he can translate that to the pro game. I mean, it's an interesting prospect, definitely more interesting than most of these names on the list. And,
right.
I think it would be long, long odds for him to make the team, but he might be a guy that you see light the lamp a couple times in preseason.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be too surprising. Him, Uriah Hayes, I mean, both those guys, good college scoring forwards, both 20 plus goal NCAA forwards. So how can
on good teams?
Yeah. How can they produce in the AHL? Can they do 20 goals in the AHL each this year? That'd be great.
Yeah. Cause they'd be the only ones.
Well,
Bracken Kearns had 21 goals last season in the AHL.
There might be some talent down there this year, more younger talent in Worcester than if, let's say, Hurdle and Hayes and Nieto are down there, and Tarasov is another really interesting player. I don't think he's NHL ready, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, he was pretty good when he played in Worcester when he got the call up, from the Bulls.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really good on the Bulls, but that's a different story, right?
Yeah. He had 28 points in Worcester.
Sure.
14 goals.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. And you know what? He was pretty damn good on my video game, too, when I played as the Worcester Sharks. He was a good player.
Well, done deal then. That's all we need to know.
All right. D-men, dude. Any names here? Any guys you think have a chance of maybe cracking the roster?
Well, we've certainly talked about the sort of the jam up the Sharks already have. The only player, we got Braun and Boyle and Demers and Hannon now is signed, and Stewart and Tennyson and Vlasic. I don't know if there's any room for anybody to make waves. Clearly, Jason Demers is in a critical junction in his career. I mean, this could be the point at which he sort of starts to fade away. Sena Akalatse had 21 points as a defenseman in Worcester last year. That's not so bad. And, I don't know. I don't know what to expect out of this group, to be honest. I doubt we're going to see any specific movement here. I don't think we're going to see any surprises from the defensive core. And
think Rob Davison's got a shot to make the team, dude? Rob Davison in camp.
He played in he played in the Austrian League.
Yeah.
9 points in 53 games in the Austrian League. That's
yes.
Nice.
So he's under contract, too. He did not have to get a tryout contract. Well, I think it's a
minor league deal.
Nah, I think he's...
They gave him a two-way?
He's probably got a two-way
no
contract.
Chance.
Dude,
no way.
You don't think so?
Dude, he didn't even play in the AHL last year. They didn't give him an NHL two-way deal. No way.
All right.
Look it up, dude.
I'm going to look it up,
we'll
too.
Talk about the Patrecki contract. They offered Nick Patrecki another year. $715,000 is the cap number, but of course, that's prorated if he plays in the NHL. If he plays in the AHL, it's a two-way deal. He makes considerably less, about $100,000 a year. Nick Patrecki now probably past the window where he can legitimately rise to be an NHL player, barring some radically unforeseen growth spurt.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're probably right. I do think on this list, he's probably second in the call-up lineup, you know, just because of his experience. I mean, someone goes down. I think you're right. There's very little room for anyone to crack this seven. I mean, unless Tennyson is just amazing and totally outplays Demers or Braun and they feel they can trade one of them.
Right.
You know,
I mean, Tennyson looked great in the prospects game, but again, he's playing against a bunch of kids who have never played at the NHL level, and he has. I mean, Tennyson played... he only played four games.
Yeah, so otherwise, Tennyson would be the first guy coming up when someone gets hurt, and then maybe Patrecki is number two, and then... Because the other guys don't have enough of a body of work. I mean, Rob Davison is on under contract with the Sharks, dude.
What?
He is. It's right here, 1 year, $550,000.
So league men. But it's a two-way.
Yeah.
It's two-way.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, but that's the thing is, it'll be interesting. Let's say, Matt Irwin goes down or Scott Hannon gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Is Rob Davison going to get the call up over Nick Patrecki? Like, where are we? You know, in terms of that pecking order, we'll find out.
Yeah, I find that difficult to believe. I can't help thinking that there's going to be somebody else in the AHL level that's going to be more. It's going to be more beneficial unless it's a long. There's just no way. I can't believe
there
we're
are.
Gonna
this
see
is
Rob
going
Davison
back
again.
To the PTOs. So there's so many good defensemen. I'm gonna say good. I mean, you know, a player like Tom Gilbert. It's not a bad player, right? He's got nothing right now. Ron Hainsey, he's a good player. He just signed. He was the beneficiary of Pickens' season-long injury.
Right, Ron Hainsey once was good.
He still is not bad. Dude.
No, he's not bad. He's not a bad player. Probably not as good as his that one crazy contract said. But
let's look at the goalies really quick.
Okay,
this is probably the easiest part. It's Niemi and Stalock, right? JP Anderson's in camp.
I guess Sateri has an outside shot. But I think Stalock's got the inside track.
Unless Stalock is just...
Balls.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Than Sateri. But I just don't think... I think Sateri's going to really benefit from being by himself in Worcester and not having to share that time, really.
Right.
So that's pretty easy.
Yep. There's a lot of uncertainty at forwards, and there's really not much uncertainty anyplace else.
How about that Corey Crawford extension in Chicago and seeing how after they win the cup the first time, they just let Niemi go, right?
Yeah.
And now this time, and they let Niemi go and then they took a dump, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Their team, not necessarily because of Niemi, I mean, they let some other players go, but that was part of the equation. And they went backwards. And this time they said no. And I mean, Niemi's making, what, 3.8 or something? And Crawford's extension is like in the sixes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, who'd you rather have?
Right now, I'd rather have Niemi. It was a Vezina finalist.
Sure. And so you get Niemi, plus you get like almost a $3 million discount on it.
Good deal.
It's a pretty good deal, you know? So I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a question.
We got some questions, dude. We got some comments on the blog. But the best way to get our attention is to send an email to questions@dudesonhockey.com. This is Tom from Mountain View. According to Andrew Strickland and Puck Daddy, news is this morning, talks between the Blues and Alex Pietrangelo have completely broken off. And because of the new CBA, it's even more complicated beyond dollars and terms. Simple question, What do you think a team would have to offer Pietrangelo on an offer sheet to pry him from St. Louis? And do you think it's worth it or wise for any team in the NHL right now? Maybe Doug Wilson makes an offer. It was rumored DW had interest in Shea Weber last year, so while it's obvious all the other 29 teams would love a player of that caliber, it seems to be DW has been a little more active trying to get one.
How did those rules change, do you know, in terms of restricted, like what the compensation is? I don't know what it is now. I don't even want to look it up.
That much different in terms of salary. It's just that the cap has come down. You know, there's contract limits now. You know, the 7 and 8 years, like we talked about. You know, Shea Weber got a 13-year deal or whatever he got because of the offer sheet from the Flyers.
Well, isn't he going to want over six?
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to sign anything that's any less than, you know, 5 years, $30 million.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and that's probably even lower than what he wants, right? I mean, he probably thinks he should be getting something in the sevens or something like that. And I'm sure they're looking at the PK Subban contract and hoping that he would go that route, right?
Yeah.
Let's take a look at his numbers, okay?
So last year, he had 24 points in 47 games. Year before, 12 goals, 51 points in 81 games. That was the breakout years, 11-12. And he had 43 points the year before, which was his rookie year. So he's had a body of work at this point. I mean, he was on pace for 48 points, roughly, you know, mid-40s. Not a lot of penalty minutes, but clearly gets power play time and the whole thing. I mean, Alex Pietrangelo is the real deal, at least as far as this is concerned. This isn't like a Tyler Myers situation. Like in Buffalo, who had one good year and they gave him $1 billion and then he sort of faded. I think we can say now that Pietrangelo actually has a body of work, a trend where he's a very, very good defenseman. And so I think you're right. I mean, I think to get him to sign an offer sheet, it's probably going to be a lot of money. It's going to be at least $6 million, if not more. And it's probably going to be 5 or 6 years at least, if not the whole seven.
So that would end up being multiple first round picks of compensation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah. There's basically no way the Sharks could do that.
No. And while last year, I guess it was last offseason, right? They were rumored to be in the Shea Weber mix.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if that was ever going to be an offer sheet. That was going to be we'll threaten you with this offer sheet and there'll be a trade. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think that that's what it would have ended up being really with anybody. But yeah. I mean, he's great. He's a very good player. I mean, he's a good player. I just don't think the Sharks at this point, where this team is at a severe crossroads, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they made a concerted effort to keep the guys together because they were so encouraged based on how they played for the last 18 games of the season in the playoffs,
right,
that they've kept that group together. They've added Tyler Kennedy to it and taken away TJ Gagliardi. So that's an upgrade, and basically kept everyone else and said, let's move forward and continue where we're on the right track, and blowing it up to add this guy right now.
And it's a big blow up, both in terms of cap and in terms of, let's not forget the number of draft picks. I mean, a lot of Sharks fans, us included, have been more and more concerned over the years as the Sharks have traded more and more draft picks. And when you sign, if you try to sign a guy, I mean, it seems incredibly unlikely that they could, even if they wanted to, but let's say they do, they probably have to give up 4 or 5 first round draft picks.
So let's say it was a trade then.
Sharks are going to be hamstrung.
Let's say this was a trade. Let me give you a guess at what it would be. It would be Vlasic and Hurdle and a first.
It would be more than that.
You think?
Oh, yeah. They'd want Couture. I mean, they'd want everything.
Dude, blasphemy!
Pietrangelo's like in the Norris conversations,
right.
Dude.
You're right.
Dude. I mean, this is like
Pavelski. It'd be Pavelski.
Yeah.
And
Pavelski and more. Pavelski and a first and a prospect. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. I mean, are we that, for one, are we that sure on Pietrangelo? I don't know. I don't know if we're that sure. I mean, even if we were, though, that's a massive blow up to the team.
Yeah, I would say that if the team fails this year, Sharks fail mm-hmm. this year, and they end up letting Boyle and Jumbo and Marlowe kind of go their separate ways, then I think you're looking at maybe a deal like this is possible. Mm-hmm. You're in full rebuild, right?
Yeah.
And you go, well, maybe I would part with Pavelski plus to get a 24, 25-year-old franchise defenseman at that point.
Yeah.
But right now, no.
Yeah. Dude, we got two people who sent comments about Sean Avery on the blog.
Well, there was that whole thing in the Twitter sphere.
Yeah, one guy said, so Sean Avery's into dudes now, I guess. That's what the guy said.
Do you know what they're talking about?
I mean, not exactly.
Well, there was. I don't even think it was a official report or something in a gossip thing that him and Andy Cohen, the guy who is on Bravo, he was like the host of What Happens.
Who's Andy Cohen?
He's like a talk show host, dude. Okay. And he's an openly gay celebrity.
Okay.
That supposedly they're in a relationship and they're getting married was the news.
Right.
But they both kind of, and they're friends, and there's pictures of them together. They're friends.
Right.
And they both kind of went out and kind of made fun of it, you know, in the aftermath, dude. But so I think that's what people are talking about. That's what people are talking about. So Sean Avery's into dudes. That's what they're talking about.
But that's not actually confirmed. Like, he didn't come out or something.
No. Yeah. It's not confirmed.
Okay. So did he actually deny
it? I don't think
it?
Now. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't care.
Yeah,
like, I heard about it
care.
And I went, you know what? You know, if Sean Avery's gay, I guess that's maybe ironic, but it's like,
yeah.
I don't care. I mean, that's such a non-issue for me personally.
Right.
You know, that it doesn't matter. I know Sean Avery's kind of, for all of the turdish things he's done in his life, is very outspoken about gay rights.
Right.
So in terms of being in favor of it. So not surprising that he has a celebrity friend.
Yeah.
Like Andy Cohen. I don't know.
So.
And you know what? If they're dating, I don't care.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter.
I mean,
And to answer this question, is he a pioneer like Jason Collins? No. No, he's not.
No. I mean, yeah. I mean, unless there's something we've missed and like I'm
You look it up.
I am, but I don't think, dude, if that was, I'm not even looking it up. Because if it was real, it'd be like
everywhere.
On the front of Sports Illustrated and on ESPN ahead of T-Bowing.
But it's not the same because he retired. And, you know, it's not the same as Jason Collins. It's just not.
Well, I guess, but no one, I mean, dude, I really want to talk about this.
No.
I mean.
No, I don't care.
No one has signed Jason Collins.
Yeah.
Which I think is disturbing.
It's early yet.
Not really.
Well, there's this rumor about this, I read on, God, we're getting way far afield. There's some free safety, allegedly, who there were some photos that could be seen as compromising if that's actually.
A football player?
Yeah, football player, free safety. I can't remember his name, but he's supposedly really good. And the guy is just, he wants to play and like no one will call him. And like his agent's like, he's, I guess, being blackballed because of these rumors of his sexual orientation. It's kind of sad. But anyway, we're getting way out of here. But Sean Avery, as far as I know, it's just some sort of weird novelty rumor, innuendo.
Whatever.
That's unconfirmed.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it was confirmed, it would be way, way bigger news than just a bunch of things on Page Six. Right.
Let's see. Is there anything else? I don't really see anything else, dude. I think we're pretty.
You think we did it?
I think we did it.
We're
dude.
Getting close to it.
Yeah.
Do you remember? And I had to look this up today. How the playoff format works this year? Do you remember?
Yeah, the playoff format is really weird. Actually, I had a question about, like, somebody asked me about that. They're like, hey, can you talk about that on the podcast? Because it's really confusing.
Well, here we go. Look how I brought that up.
That's amazing.
Lob and dunk.
It is way confusing. It's, like, unnecessarily confusing, right? So there's four divisions now.
Right.
Okay. And in two conferences, and it's the top three seeds per division,
Right.
Have automatic berths. And then, so that's six teams per conference. And then the seventh and the eighth are just the next two teams in terms of points. So those
in the conference.
In the conference. So those right. two teams. So there could be five teams from one division and three teams from another.
Right.
And there's no reseeding. That's right. The other thing. There's no reseeding. So the first seeded team, the best team doesn't always play the lowest seeded team remaining. It's like a real bracket, I think.
Ooh.
Pretty sure. Pretty sure. Someone email us and tell us otherwise. I looked this up. I honestly did. I'm not just talking out of my ass here like normal.
Wow. That I don't like at all, actually.
Why? I mean, it's normal playoff bracket. What's so weird about it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've seen that in other sports, namely the NBA, where that's just been awful. Like, I mean, if somehow an 8 seed beats a 1 and then they run into a 4, then that side of the bracket coming out is so horribly weak that
yeah.
I don't know. Whatever, dude. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Well, it's going to be what it is. So
what
I had is that, you know, like for the Sharks, you know, if it's the Sharks, LA, and Vancouver, then, you know, if you're Phoenix and you're fourth, that doesn't mean you get in. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, teams in the Central, let's say Nashville and Minnesota are fourth and fifth, if they have more points than Phoenix, then Nashville and Minnesota are in. And if Nashville's at the bottom, then they move into the... Well, actually, it would be the team with the lowest amount of points would play the team with the highest amount of points.
Yeah.
So let's say the Kings were first
yeah.
and Nashville was eighth. Then Nashville moves into the Pacific bracket.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah.
So, and then they stay there.
Yeah. I think that's right. But there isn't like a division winner, is there? There's not a bracket per division, is it? It's seeds.
Wow.
It's
yeah. Seeds. We got to look this up.
God, see, this is why this is so confusing.
See, because I thought it was. A bracket for the division. So you...
I thought that's what people were talking about when this whole realignment came up, but I don't think that's the final scheme. I think one thing that people liked is about that bracket is then there's the final four. You have the division winner.
Right.
And they all face each other at the end. But I don't think that's the way it really is.
I like it. Listeners, if you know...
Yeah.
And many of you have way more knowledge than we do.
I honestly spent like a considerable amount of time reading this.
And you don't know.
I still can't remember it.
You still don't know anything.
I have to say, that shows how stupid the NHL was on this scheme. I mean, to me, there's two ways to go. One is the way we just described, where you have a pure interdivisional playoff, and then the top four teams, you know, the winner of each division, then are in the final four, which is kind of neat. Or you go I think you go almost the other way, where the leader of the division gets an automatic berth and everything else is seeded. This sort of combination is just crap. I hate it. The thing that they're trying to avoid anyway is where the 3-6 matchup, the six team has more points than the three. And it's happened. And it's not that infrequent. It's happened a few times in the last few years. I remember there was one with Atlanta was the number three, and they were playing, and they got crushed
by
the
Rangers.
Round.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Rangers were a better team, and they had more points and everything. And I think it's worthwhile to try to avoid that situation. And the way to avoid that situation is you don't get automatic playoff berths based on your position, not based on your point total. And so the fact that the NHL now is moving to this weird, difficult to understand hybrid scheme, I think just sucks. It's going to make it that much more difficult to figure out.
We're going to figure it out. Before the next podcast.
Don't speak so soon.
Well, we're going to figure it out, dude. We're going to figure it out.
All right. All
you
right.
get a reading. I'll get a singing.
I'll have to print it out this time.
Yes.
And like make notes on it.
We're
now,
going to.
I thought I could remember it, but clearly I couldn't. There's a lot of minutia.
Shame on you.
I know.
Well, dude, we're just a couple podcasts away from the beginning of the year.
We are.
Look at us. We're talking into the 45th minute here. We're doing such a good job.
No teal and white this year, dude.
No teal and white. I'm heartbroken. I've really actually not enjoyed going the last couple of years.
It was funny because when my friend told me, they're like, hey, there's no teal and white this year. I'm like, oh, man, that's too bad. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Every year I go and I hate it.
Yeah, it's not fun. I mean, the game's always like 1-0 and nobody tries.
It's like the first 5 minutes is really exciting because you're like, yay, I get to see all my players again. This is fun. And then you're like, wait, quality of this hockey is terrible.
Who was it? Was it Tommy Wingles who hit Logan Couture during the TLMY game, and then Jay Leach just kind of like, like punched him around a little bit.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was the best thing that's happened in the last 3 years of the TLMY game. And then maybe Nick Patrecki's like
Spinorama. Like,
the best thing he's ever done on a professional ice rink.
Best thing he's ever done on the ice period.
Oh, gosh.
All right, dude.
Dude, we're getting so close.
I know.
To drafting our teams.
Yeah, okay, so that's the last thing.
For
people
Vegas.
People are asking about fantasy. Oh. In fantasy. Are we doing fantasy again? You look thrilled.
I don't, dude. Do you want to? I mean,
dude, you know me. I don't do crap. I draft. I'm a draft consultant. That's what I do for fantasy.
Yes, we will do one fantasy league again.
Wow.
So,
okay, how are we gonna?
This is what we're gonna do.
Okay. Everybody who was in a league with us last season is gonna get an email
right
exactly the same time.
Right.
And we'll tweet it when we send the email in case you don't have access to email or something and you want to like enable Twitter on your phone. And
right.
So we'll email everybody at the same time.
It's going to be open. The people who were in it have the chance to be in it, but then also anyone, new people can be in it, right?
Well, I think we should give the people that were in leagues with us last year first dibs.
We're doing one league.
I know, but it's only fair. Like do we have two leagues last year?
No.
We only had one league last year?
I don't know.
Okay, that's your job to figure out.
Dude.
So if we have two leagues, we got to give those people first dibs. And then if we still have openings, which I don't think we will, we won't at that point, then we'll open it up to the general public.
But then what about the people who've been emailing saying we want to do a podcast fantasy league?
Well,
then they're the ones who don't get to participate. So you're discriminating against the new listener.
Life's full of disappointments. Dude, you're running the fantasy
league. Just ask Dan Cleary.
Yeah, just ask Dan Cleary. Life's full of disappointment.
Wait,
you can run the league however you see fit. You do whatever you want.
Who is the guy? Chris Bartsch sitting alone somewhere complaining about how he can't feed his family in front of the fireplace.
I gotta put food on the table.
This is my third amaretto and ice tonight. I can't put food on the table.
I'm looking at the fire in my 4,500 square foot house in Dallas, and I'm lamenting my station in life.
All right,
dude, you run the fantasy league however you want.
Okay, yes,
you do whatever you want.
I will. I'll just
good
play 20 teams by myself.
Do it.
All right, no, we're gonna do it. We'll get it going.
We'll get it going, and right, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.